Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation. 19 years of a one-man show. And that means you can call the show with any topic, news or otherwise, by dialing 855-407-28. That's one of my favorite songs. Let me hear Speedo from the beginning. I don't know anyone who can play a saxophone like that. Here's a question for you. Does the ability to fight make a man a man? Does the ability to get down with someone and fight with your fists make a man a man? Now, there are many men who like it. They are into it. There are many men who don't like violence. They're afraid of it. They shy from it. But they're extremely successful because they use their brain, not their brawn. On the other hand, many men use their brawn and they feel like they're more of a man than the other guy and they don't get anywhere in life. Now, there are some men who can do both. I admit, I know that. I know some men who are very successful who fight amateur fights. Then there's a whole thing about fight clubs. What I do on the radio is fighting on a daily basis. It's all a struggle. You know that. All of life is a struggle. All of it. In Russia, I understand there's a fight club for office workers where they said we're going to teach office workers, urban men, how to be men. And they go into this club, they pay $900, and they beat each other up, like in the movie Fight Club with Brad Pitt. And I was thinking about that, because the rumor is that I predict I'm going to be replacing Hannity on Cumulus Drive Time stations and all the other stations he's on. And that's set off a tremendous, tremendous, you know, debate and controversy. What I said yesterday on the show, it's been covered everywhere. But basically, it's a fight. It's a fight for survival in a different arena. I have said to someone that radio is possibly one of the most competitive arenas in the world. We're talking intellectually, no other way. We're not beating each other up with fists. We're not Sunnis versus Shia burning down churches. Or Muslims burning down Christian churches in Egypt. That's not the way we do things in a civilized society. But yesterday I went on an assault. I asked you, why do you think Hannity is being booted from Fox primetime? I agree that that could be seen as a combative statement. And then I said, why do you think Wallbanger's radio show will be replaced by my show in my if my prediction is true? I realize that's combative. I understand that. And yesterday's show was set off a lot of, you know, shockwaves. And I asked you, why is Wallbanger finished in the major league of radio? You're a great American. No, you're a great American. No, sir, you're a great American. No, 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 you're a great American. Hello, great American. No, hello, great American. No, you're a great American. Mr. Great American. You know, if I were doing a Saturday Night Live parody of idiot conservatives, I would do the Great American parody. Hello, great American. Why, hello, great American. How many times can you wrap yourself in a flag? That's one. We'll put a boot in your... How can you open a show with that every night, year after year? It's 2013 already. Stop with the boot in your behind. Who's... So you understand why. Do you understand why Savage may be the chosen one? Now, I have to tell you this. This is something you don't know. When Moses was chosen by God, he didn't want the job. God, remember I told you that story, how I imagined it happened? I happen to know Moses personally. I'm named for him. But... here's how it happened. God went down to this guy. He had a bit of a hunchback and a bad skin condition. He stuttered. And he said, I'm choosing you to lead the Israelites out of the desert to the promised land. He said, I don't want the job. What do you want from me? Leave me alone. I'm busy enough. I don't want it. My legs hurt. My skin hurts. I stutter. And God said, no, I chose you. But I'm not perfect. Choose Charlton Heston, he said. Moses said, choose Charlton Heston. Don't choose me. God said, no, I am choosing you because you are imperfect to lead the Israelites out of the desert. That's the story of Moses. That's the absolute story of Moses. So I told you yesterday that this is a 19-year one-man show. I have had virtually every impediment known to man thrown in my way from day one on an overnight show on KGO when I began. People try to stop me, block me, smear me. It never worked. I overcame all of it. And some of my greatest detractors are gone from the radio business. People who stood in my way are gone. It can't all be because of me. It's some other power. I'm trying to tell you this. Do you understand that? Well, anyway, I don't want to make it all about me. Only if you want to make it all about me, you can call 855-407-2282. Savage, who's based in San Francisco, heard on KSFO 6 to 9 p.m. in New York on WABC and 200 other stations, began his show with the theme song from 2001, A Space Odyssey. He offered a terse prediction. Quote, Hannity is done. It's not that I don't like him, but his ratings are down and there's a reason. Roger Ailes is replacing him with Megyn Kelly on Fox News. This is from Rich Lieberman's 415 Media. He then went on and wrote, Hannity's radio program on Cumulus, heard also on KSFO, has also taken a ratings beating. Well, we know why. You've got a boot in your... Hey, great American. How are you, great American? Are you a great American? It's fairly predictable radio and not... Well, anyway, you get the picture. So here's some of the comments from that in the WND article. Oh, this is a long one. WND article comments. I love Savage because he is a conservative and puts Democrats and Republicans on the carpet. He is not a party hack. Okay. Now, you know, the thing is that Hannity has just recently started attacking conservatives, but you very well know that when they're in power, he goes to the White House as he did with Bush. You know, he's against Republicans until they're in power, then he's for Republicans. And when GOP's in power, he becomes a Republican hack, as he was during the Bush years. He not only carried the water for Bush, I think he drank the Kool-Aid for Bush and swallowed it before anyone else. And someone wrote, funny how when I see Hannity on TV with guests, his voice does not bother me, but on the radio it is irritating and I cannot listen to him for long. That's very interesting. I have a similar reaction. On television, he uses his good looks to aid him in his delivery, because he's a good-looking young man. But on radio, you have nothing but your voice and your brain to work with, and you can't use your good looks. It's that simple. Let's see. Here's the next one. You're spot on. The three best conservative talk radio hosts by far. They aren't beholden to the establishment like Hannity. Though I have to give Savage credit for writing off the Republicans years before Limbaugh and others realized the GOP is a wolf in sheep's clothing. As for O'Reilly, the god of fair and balanced, this clown is one of the most dangerous threats to conservatives. He misleads conservatives to the slaughterhouse while he's perched on the fence and talks to two blonde bimbos. Okay, number three. I hope he's right, nothing against Hannity. Number four. Savage at 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific would catch fire, will be the biggest thing in radio. Here's the last comment on the article. Someone wrote, I selfishly like him on at night, last word in talk radio. I know I have to tune every day, even if I have to listen to YouTube later in the day. Savage is the most addictive voice in the media. Hello, everybody. I'm massaging your brain cells. You must listen to me at all costs. Now, if you want me to talk about Egypt, I've done so ad infinitum. I called it the Arab winter before anyone else did. We must side with the generals. I said that before anyone else figured that out. What else would you like me to answer? Because I'm usually right on international affairs. I'm very rarely wrong. I'm strategically the smartest man in the media on international affairs. That's because of my academic background and because I read very widely. On domestic affairs, it's hard to tell because there's too many shadows and we're looking at the shadows on the wall of the cave. We don't really know what's going on. I think internationally it's easier to read what's going on than domestically because we have too many shysters in the media who are covering for those in power and you don't know what they're really doing, you know. It's the Savage Nation, the one and only, 855-407-2282. We're open for business. Let's take some callers. Are these good callers? They don't look that good. Do a better job. Get me some major markets, will you? William on WFTL in Florida. Go ahead, please, in Fort Lauderdale. What's on your mind, William?
Hi, Michael. I was just curious. A lot of countries seem to be against the traditional in the United States, and I was wondering which countries you thought that would be.
That's a broad question. Which countries are against the United States?
Yeah, the traditional United States. It would like to turn us into socialists. And, maybe perhaps the United States was very powerful around.
Well, it's obvious that we have many enemies worldwide. I think I would turn it around and say, which countries admire us under Obama? Because it would be a shorter answer.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I'm trying to, give you the IQ answer. I could have given you a long answer, but I gave you... If Hannity answered that question, it would go on now till you heard the word Great American 43 times. My answer was simple. I will give you the shorter version, which is the countries that like us under Obama. Thanks for the... Hey, we could do that now. The IQ callers. The IQ callers. We'll see. I'll answer your questions as shortly. You know what I learned when I was writing scientific papers in graduate school? The first thing I learned from a professor was scientific writing requires the shortest possible sentences with the most possible punch. Write succinctly. That was the first rule of science writing. First rule. And then when I studied botanical Latin, I learned a new dimension of, let us say, speaking with as few words as possible. Now, remember, I do this for a living. I use an awful lot of words. If you did the word count, it's pretty high every day. However, when you think about it, my answers are usually quite succinct. I say it like it is in as few words as possible. And I believe that that's why you like the show. 855-400-7282. KSFO, Doug, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I would just like to point out that I don't want the money cut off to Egypt because that's paying the salary of the soldiers, which are keeping the Muslim Brotherhood in check. And frankly, I don't care if they...
Well, why should we cut the money off to Egypt to begin with? It was going to the military, who are our allies. They're doing our dirty work in Egypt. The Egypt military is doing what we need done in Egypt, which is preventing the rise on the stage of Nazi fascism. What do you think Islamofascism means, a term that I coined? I mean, Islamofascism is a word. It applies to Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood as much as it does to the rebels that McCain seems to love in Syria. We must stop the Islamofascist movement or we will all lose our freedom and our lives. And so the Egyptian army is doing the bidding of America, only we don't even understand that.
I agree with you. You spoke too quick. I said I don't want to cut the money off.
No, I was agreeing with you, but since I'm originally from New York and was raised by a combative father, even when I agree with people, it sounds like I'm arguing with them. Neil's getting a kick out of me tonight. All right, no, seriously. I'm sorry. I am too combative sometimes, and people think I'm arguing with them even when I agree with them. But it's only my way. It's not that I really disagree with you. It's another thing that most Americans don't understand. You can disagree with someone without not disliking them. I don't have to hate you to disagree with you. I can like you and disagree with you. In fact, I probably will disagree with you if I like you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know what I'd like to hear is Speedo. It's one of my favorite rock and roll songs in order to get the people to recognize that it's a long-running thing that I have here, which is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. When I was off the air last year for a month or so, they were missing Rock and Roll Friday, Blue Monday, Curry Chicken Tuesday, Weepy Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday. Yeah. I'm going skeet shooting tomorrow. I haven't done it much, but I'm going to take the old Remington 1100 and shoot some skeet. I wonder what that sounds like to Larry David, a guy like Larry David from Brooklyn. He was up in the ticket. Where that lunatic kid went nuts and shot those poor children, comes out and sticked his fair game.
Afternoon, and it was so nauseating. I had to.
I tuned in to see if he would attack me, and I said, I can't believe he's doing what we all did last week.
You know, one of my favorite bits you've ever done was the Romney empty chair bit after the convention, and I'd be interested to hear a Sean Hannity empty chair segment, or maybe just like a conservative.
Wait, I don't remember that, because Clint Eastwood did it. I thought it was one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen in my life, and of course the liberal media went crazy, because they thought they owned Clint Eastwood. But what did I do? I don't really remember, honestly.
Well, it was on the fly, and he used a buzzer sound effect, and he just started in with it, and I was laughing so hard.
I asked hard questions like, Mr. Romney, and what do you think about granting amnesty to illegal aliens, right? And he said nothing. Is that it?
Yeah, and it was just a dial tone. And
dial tone, right? All right. We play a dial tone with every question that had any meaning. I do remember. That was funny. We invented it on the spot. Yeah, I'm famous for on the fly. On the fly.
One of the most entertaining hosts on the radio, and I love listening to your show every night.
Well, okay, that's good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm not even going to plug a book. I've written so many books, I don't remember which one to tell you to go and buy. What's the point? 855-400-7282. Let's take a caller out of Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, huh? Alex is a female. She's dropped? She dropped it. Time is short here. I thought you said I have a short caller. How would you know how tall they are? How would you know for sure a caller is short or tall? When I come back, I'll take your calls right here on the Savage Nation, whether you're short or tall, big or small.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
So the worst people in the world are on Martha's Vineyard right now. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You're telling me that these are the best people in the world? Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Eric Holder, former car czar Stephen Ratner, and members of the and a member of the President's Economic Recovery Advisory Board. How's that working out for you? Robert Wolf, lawyer and leading civil rights activist Vernon Jordan. Also, there were movie mogul and Obama PR hack Harvey Weinstein and his wife, Marchesa. Larry David, do I have to say anything? Just the words themselves say it. Carly Simon, Peter Chernin, they're all at Martha's Vineyard. The world is burning. The Middle East is on fire. The country is being attacked left and right around the world, verbally, intellectually, mentally. The people are clamoring for leadership. And this is a collaboration of the worst people I've ever seen in my life on Martha's Vineyard. 855-407-282 is the phone number. It's open mic to mic Friday. Memphis, Tennessee, WKIM. Alex, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, you are so far ahead of the other people. Like, they still haven't caught up to the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood is our enemies. And then McCain is still going over there saying that
yes,
he should help them out.
Well, no, McCain is a disaster. He's a roving disaster. I've tried to figure out why McCain is on the side of Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood. Because secretly behind the scenes, Obama's on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is why he's taking an equivocal position. And the best I could figure this out from McCain's point of view is that he wants to curry favor with Obama. That's one opinion I have, and it's the easiest conclusion to draw. Just
later.
The second opinion I have is that McCain is a front man for the military-industrial complex, and whatever is good for the sale of weapons is good for McCain. There's no other reason for this. Thank you for the call. That's all. In Ohio, John is calling the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. You're on the program.
Hey, Michael. I'm a longtime Sean Hannity fan, and I can tell you the reason his ratings are down is we're burned up from the politics. After the last election, we're simply not interested anymore.
I think that's 100% true. It may not even be him. He's repetitive, and all he does is, you know, propose republicanism and anti-Obamacare. I myself can't listen to that.
Yeah, it's hard to do because we fought as hard as we could. And
all right, well, let's say you're a realist. You still like Sean. You'll watch him on television wherever he goes. So if that is true, that you're tired of politics, then why are you listening to the Michael Savage Show?
No. I'm talking domestic politics. We're tired, but we don't want to hear the same talking points that Sean puts out there.
Okay. I think that's fair enough. I don't think there's any malice in what you say. And I agree with it, frankly. How much can you take of it? I think that's why conservative radio in general went down, because people lost, they feel they were misled and they lost the election. Why listen at all? What good is it?
Yeah, it is, Michael. That is certainly my reasoning. I can't get as involved as I used to be.
Okay, but here you are at night on a Friday listening to me. I'm basically a political talk show host, correct?
It's a different point of view.
All right. Well, I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny just out in paperback. Stay on the line. Did you hear my quote yesterday from Nietzsche when he wrote, "Thus spake Zarathustra"? We'll go highbrow, lowbrow. Okay, here's highbrow. Nietzsche. You've all heard of Nietzsche. I'm sure you heard of Nietzsche. It's like, oh, Nietzsche. Have you read Nietzsche? Really? Have you read Lorca? Yeah, I read Lorca. Remember when the liberals were going on the Senate? Did you read Lorca? Yeah, I read Lorca. There was like a certain list of books you had to read and you had to know. Have you read Lorca? It was like a whisper. The guys with better hair than you They would like, have you read Lorca? Oh, yeah, I read Lorca. Well, have you read Nietzsche? Well, Nietzsche wrote, the higher we soar, the smaller we appear to those who cannot fly. I love that state, that saying. I'll say it again. The higher we soar, the smaller we appear to those who cannot fly. That's highbrow, but it's amazingly well written. And that's what I have to say to all of you who try to put me down on a daily basis. I'm still here and you're nowhere. That's all. And I intend to be here long after you're still nowhere. Everyone who stood in my way is gone from radio. I swear to God. I swear to God. I as God on a stack of Bibles. And it's not just to do with me. There's a higher power. I told you that. I told you that. I got out my holy scriptures. I'm putting it on my desk. My famous blue holy scriptures, Old Testament, with maybe 500 post-its in it. I have so many post-its I can't read the book anymore. I once had it on a stage set. Because I found so many things that I wanted to remember that I may as well should pull out all of the post-its and just read the book again. I swear on this Bible to my audience right now that there's not another talk show host in America who will put a Bible on his broadcast desk and swear to his audience on anything. I swear to you that everyone who stood in my way is out of radio or gone from where they were. Everyone. It's just what is. So, what would you conclude from that? It's because I'm such a great, brilliant broadcaster. I'm good at what I do. In fact, sometimes I'm great at what I do. But there has to be more to it than that. There always is something more to this type of thing than that. And that's all I'm going to say. And I hope that you're a great American. We'll put a boot in your 855-407-282. 855. See, the show doesn't seem like it's flying tonight. I don't know what's wrong. I want it to soar. I feel kind of a little deadness out there. So I think I'm going to have to start some of the rock and roll Friday stuff going. How about Sea of Love by Phil Phillips and the Twilights? Sea of Love. Neil, Sea of Love by Phil Phillips and the Twilights. And then maybe that will encourage people. That's what I'm talking about.
Sea of love, I want to tell you how much I love you.
All right, good enough. That's all. Carnage in Cairo, no end in sight to raging Egyptian violence. And our genius in the White House is knocking down a fried shrimp. He's knocking down a fried shrimp with Harvey Weinstein tonight. That's all. Well, he's on vacation. Look, he worked very hard last month. He went to Africa. That cost you $100 million. He needs a vacation from his vacation. That's unbelievable. Churches are being burnt to the ground. Not a one word from leadership. When have you last seen Obama go to a church with a Bible in his hand? At least Clinton faked it with a large Bible and a fake cross. At least you could say that for him. This one doesn't even bother faking it. Should it matter to you? Yes, I think it should, by the way. How about the spying scandal? Did that disappear? Latest NSA revelations anger Dems. The Obama administration faces a backlash from congressional demon cats following revelations that the NSA broke privacy rules and overstepped its authority thousands of times since 08. They're faking it. They don't care. The Dems are making believe they care because they have to go back to their base, which are usually fanatics. And say, oh, they because the left really cares about the spying, as they should, to be honest with you. Carnage in Cairo, no end in sight to raging Egyptian violence. We're doing nothing. Churches are burning. People are being killed. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's go to Alan on WABC in New York City. Alan, go ahead, please.
Big Mike, a few years ago, you said that you believed that the smartest person in America might just be sitting in a two-story tenement listening to the radio with his baseball hat on. And he's not sitting in Harvard. And I think that's the difference between you and Hannity. See, Hannity thinks that the smartest person in America is on the Fox payroll or Dick Morris or Newt Gingrich. And this is for the Dickey brothers who are ultimately going to make the decision. The reason you would be better in primetime radio is because you would pull the listener back. You were calling Mitt Romney a shell candidate, a default candidate, while Hannity was interviewing him and asking him what he's going to do in the first day of office. And I got to tell you, we've talked a lot over the years. And you're a sincere guy, and the only forum that sincerity could not be faked, and you say it over and over again, is radio.
That's right. You can't fake it in radio. You can fake it on television because you've got lights, action, camera, makeup, you know, whatever. You know, that's what the magic of television is. In radio, the people have the biggest truth detection meter in the world called their ears, and they can hear it. They can hear it. Look at what we're doing right now. I'm talking to an awful lot of people. You're one of them. You're listening. You're hearing what you're hearing. You can turn it off at any second, but you're not doing it, are you?
No, and another thing is, when you put your hand on the Bible, your hardcore audience remembers the story of your father's friend who died from brain cancer, right?
Oh, my God, the leather man gets brain cancer. You remember that story?
But you don't understand. We have a connection, me, you, and millions of others, that when you put your hand on the Bible, it isn't theatrics. This is
no.
Sad.
Well, it's not theatrics because here I am alone in a room with my dog. Actually, my dog isn't even here today. He's at the groomer on Friday. I'm alone. I feel very lonely.
You're alone.
But yeah. But no, I'm serious. I do. I have the Bible. I use it. And I don't sit here, you know, mumbling over it in front of a fireplace at night. I do other things. But truthfully, I do go to it sometimes and I say it is the truth. There's an awful lot of truth in it.
It's not only the truth, but it's actually something that you make mainstream. And I have to tell you, Mike, I think you are heading to prime time, but I think you're heading there for all the right reasons, because you will be, and you're going to love this one, you're going to be the filter. Because in the middle of the day, we need a filter to all the garbage, and you're going to be the filter.
The go filter.
Tell him, brother.
I'm going to be a filter, a go filter.
You're going to be the filter.
Well, let me ask you something, because now it's a nighttime show. I'm the last word in talk radio. I've done another time slot, but really I've never been on. If I should get that slot in the middle of the day, it's a different scene, isn't it?
No. See, they're using a clock to define the truth.
That's right. And let me tell you something. I won't change one aspect of my worldview or of my pace or my performance. There's no way I can do it, number one. And number two, there's no need to do it. In other words, this is a medium. Either you do it on the natch or you don't do it at all. And that's the end of it. In other words, I don't care what the time is. Wake me up in the middle of the night, I would do the same show.
And not only that, when the Republicans figure out that you have the pulse of the people, like when the other putts in the afternoon and the cronies that come after them, we're all using the same talking points that Romney and Dick Morris and Newt and all these guys know everything. You were telling us this is a loss. Be prepared.
Well, how about the fact that Hannity and his stooges were kissing the behind of Rubio, who I saw through so soon? I couldn't believe how naked the man looked to me. He had no clothing. How could they continue, I asked myself, to support that guy? And then it turned out he was the front man for the Democrats pushing amnesty for the 30 to 50 to 60 million illegal aliens. It was Rubio who, it came out, was the front man. I was right. They were wrong. Why don't they ever apologize for it?
Well, look, Rubio, the only thing, when you say Rubio, I'm thinking Jack and Coke with a twist of lime. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Yes, Rubio. But, you know, there's something else you have to understand, and this is a very sensitive issue. And you remember Michelle Bachmann very well, don't you?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. Michelle Bachmann, when she was in trouble a few years ago, came on my show over and over again to raise money for her campaign. And you guys sent her a lot of money. And I supported her. And then what happened was, once she became prominent in her own mind, she refused to come back on this show. She fell into the same trap that Romney did. The false Republican advisors, who they all use, said, don't go near Savage. Don't touch him. And she, what happened to her soon thereafter? Isn't she history? She's toast, isn't she?
For the longest time.
Okay, now let me tell you who will not come on this show right now. You want to hear their names? Because everyone's banking on them. Ted Cruz will not come on this show. He won't come near Michael Savage. How many times has he been on Hannity's show? 50? I'm just trying to tell you, they're all run by the same exact machine. I don't care what flavor they come in, they come out of the same Carvel machine. In other words, you go to like an ice cream parlor, and it's 50 flavors, but it's all coming out of the same machine with different flavorings. Well, there are your Republicans for you today. They come out of the same machine. They use the same public relations agencies. They use the same false advisors who either 1 year worked for Clinton, the next year worked for Bush. It doesn't matter. That's why I've said we're living in a one-party system with two-card Monty. And I've said that for many, many years. I coined the phrases Democrat and Republicrat in 1994. Well, anyway, I do appreciate your keen ear and your astute listenership. And I do hope that this prediction of mine does come to pass. Alan on WABC, I'm sending you a copy, not of the Holy Scriptures, not of psychological nudity, not of trickle-up poverty. No, sir, I'm not sending you train tracks. No, sir, I'm not sending you a time for war. No, sir, I'm not sending you abuse of power. Sir, I am sending you a copy of my paperback edition of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm getting many requests this evening, since it's Friday and it's summer, for many of my famous radio stories from the years. They want to hear Woodchuck Bill. They want to hear, what's the other one? The Electric Blue Saddle Stitched Pants, The Fly and the Tuner. Let us see, Fat Patent. The day Tippy died, Tippy dies and is thrown in a garbage truck. Let's see, Savage's childhood diet, prescription for a heart attack, Dead Man's Pants, Sam the Butcher, The Nutty Friend Who Had a Crazy Mother, Coney Island Wax Figures, Half Man, Half Woman in Long Beach, The Chestnut Man, One-Armed Frank. One-Armed Frank is a good story with the halitosis. I think I'm going to talk about One-Armed Frank for a minute, only because it's, to me, to this day, how many decades ago, let me read it because I don't want to paraphrase my own good here. Did I ever tell you about One-Armed Frank? My father knew a guy with one arm. I don't know how the guy became one-armed, but you know, you didn't know a lot of people with one arm in those days. Even today, I guess you don't know one-armed people because they have fake arms. He had the arms sewn up in a suit. Nobody hid reality in those days. Today it's like, oh yeah, he's normal. He's just like us. In those days it was One-Armed Frank. Today it's like, oh, he's better than normal, man. He's special. Like if you have one arm, you're better than a guy with two arms today. You know what I mean? If you have no arms and no legs, you're Superman in the politically correct world. And by the way, this is not meant to diminish people who have been injured in that manner. I am telling a story. Don't take it personally. You see, but in those days, if you were missing an arm, that's what you were named. Whatever your anomaly was, that was your name. It made it easier for the average person to remember everybody. So One-Armed Frank was a very sweet guy, but he had sick breath. Now, I want to tell you, there are bad breaths, and then there are very bad breaths, and then there are medicinal breaths. This one had to be solved with a medicine that hasn't yet been invented. I remember one winter, my old man was dropping Frank off at his home. Frank was in the passenger seat, and we were leaving the Lower East Side of New York late at night to drop him off somewhere over the Williamsburg Bridge in Brooklyn. Frank was in the passenger seat, and I sat in the back. It was -4 degrees out, but we had to ride with all the windows open. Did you ever meet a person like this? Whenever he spoke, the car filled with a nauseous fume. Are we going to pass? I used to think, are we going past the Trun's Meat Factory? No, we're not in Williamsburg. Did we run over a small furry creature that got caught in the muffler? And the smell shot up through the floorboard. Did I step on something? No, it's Frank talking. And that's the story of One-Armed Frank. There should be a little music to go to the end of that, like a little jazz music, because I ended all my stories at that time in my career with, like in the middle of a phrase, the way you would do in a jazz club, where you put the horn down or stop playing the horn. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's improvisational talk that I just gave you in a written form. But I guess, let's play some Naima, if you have Naima. How about Harry the Undertaker and Sidney dying of cancer? Did I ever tell you about Harry the Undertaker who said to me, life has been good to me? I've had my share. Did I tell you about Sidney, the old man who was dying of cancer years later? No, I don't think I should tell you that. I'll tell you about Harry the Undertaker. As he was dying and in severe pain, the girls would go by in my father's marketplace. And he was in pain, but he still came in every day in a suit and he was moaning. He still wore that neat little suit, tie, jacket. And his eyes were slits, but when a beautiful girl walked by, his eyes would light up and he would say, oh, Mickey. And I'd say, well, I can't even say it, it's a family show. And he would say to me, Mickey, I'd like to make love to her one more time, as the woman went by. And I'd say, you mean you made love to her? The strange, beautiful woman? He said, no, Mickey, once more I'd like to make love to her.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You're so fine.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's Friday. It's Rock and Roll Friday. It's Open Mic Friday. The phone number is 855. I don't know the number. 855-407-2822. So we'll do the news. You know all the news. You've heard it all day long. This is the last word in talk radio every day. But doesn't mean we have to do news at the end of the day. The thing is that there's a lot more in life than the news. In fact, life goes on without the news. What is the news? It's fabricated stories about what's going on in the world. And if it doesn't really affect you, you don't care about it at the end of the day. Think about it. Now, if you were a Coptic Christian in Egypt, you'd care about the news because they're burning your churches and they're killing you and your friends. And we're doing absolutely nothing. The great humanity, the great humanitarian America under Hillary Clinton, the great interventionist country that protects the most vulnerable populations, have nothing to say about the churches burning. That's why mostly we've given up on politics and the media. And the only people you listen to are, who knows who you listen to? Maybe nude runners, I don't know. 855-497-282. So I will do a little news, views, and reviews, psychological nudity. My old Savage Radio stories are ready. They're in the queue. We have the Leatherman story, the Leatherman who got cancer, Sam the Butcher, sunburn story, when Viagra wasn't around, thankfully. Happy and sad cufflinks. This book is a masterpiece. It's not even for sale anymore. It's the one with the picture of me with the dark glasses and the Gucci hat with Teddy in my hands. Love it. Love it. Love it. I mean, I'm a one-man show. You know, no one has me on their show. No one has me on their website. It's the way it should be. This is a touching one, my silent brother. But I don't want to get into a maudlin mood. It's the weekend coming up. I don't want to think about my poor brother in the grave. No, I'm closing the book. I'm not going there. I'm not going to get somber and sad. I can't take it. I can. It's a weekend. It's summer. How much, you know what I mean? Long day's journey into night, you know? After many a summer dies the swan. You understand that? A short dance in the sun, you get it? I'm throwing out three different statements to you at once on a Friday night. A short dance in the sun. A short dance in the sun. I met an Irish poet in San Francisco maybe 40 years ago, 30. I was into the, you know, the more of the... I don't know what the scene was. Let's just say a different clientele, way before radio. I had a lot more time on my hands, and I was in a different mindset. And in that time, I met some people who were genuine poets and a lot of poseurs. This one no one ever heard of, and he was a genuine poet. And I'll never forget, I went out to his little house in the Richmond district at the time. I don't remember his name. Probably you could look it up. And pardon me, I have a problem. The drip coming down because of the Indian food. Opened up the whole, I can't believe the spices that they use. How does that work? These ancient spices, the curcumin, the this, and the hot pepper. I did the buffet again. I didn't eat shrimp, though. No shrimp. No, don't touch it. Garbage poison. The only shrimp you should eat ever is American Gulf shrimp. Don't eat that Asian poison. You're going to wind up with hepatitis from it. First of all, there's a shortage of shrimp right now, and the prices are going through the roof. You know why? Even the shrimp are tired on themselves and they're dying off. The shrimp are so toxic that they got tired of living only to be eaten by New Yorkers in shrimp cocktails, so they decided to die before they were marketed. So the prices are going up 3, 4, 5 times, and it's a good thing for America. Don't eat that garbage. It's poison. Do you know how they raise shrimp in Vietnam, in Korea, in Vietnam? Do you have any idea what they do? First of all, they've decimated the mangrove swamps, and they've turned them into... They've taken the mangrove swamps, they've eliminated them, they put in these gigantic ponds, they raise the shrimp, and they raise them in their own feces and in the fecal matter. I swear to you, you're getting toxic food. Oh, shrimp. Yeah, I'll have shrimp. All the shrimp you can eat. I'll have that Barbie, shrimp on the Barbie. Don't eat it. It's poison. Forget about it. I've gone back to meat and potatoes. I figure at this point I can't eat anything else. I can't. Every fish I eat is toxic. I react to everything from the sea. I lived on it for years. Yeah, seafood. No, I don't eat that meat. I'm not one of those heart attack type. No, meat and potatoes for me. I'm a vegan, I'm a schmegan, I'm a hegan, I'm a vegan. I'm a Mohegan who eats only vegan. The Mohegans weren't vegans. Look how strong they were. Look at the haircuts they had. You think their hair grew like that because they were vegans? They killed bears. They killed turkeys. They killed deer. They were carnivores, the Mohegans. And they weren't vegans, the Mohegans. I can guarantee you that. In fact, most vegans they have no energy. All they do is believe in things that are fraudulent. So to go back to what I was saying to you before, this poet, I did this as a joke to see how far I could take you out on a limb and come back to the main story. I'll tell you why in a minute. This poet in San Francisco 40 years ago wrote this small book called A Short Dance in the Sun, read it to us in an Irish bar, and it stuck with me my whole life. What does it mean, A Short Dance in the Sun? It means that's all we got. That's it. That's the whole story in a nutshell. Remember I told you at the beginning of the show it's all about being succinct? Speaking as few words as possible. And by the way, the Bedouin have a phrase that I love, but it put me out of business, which is, if you cannot improve upon the silence, do not say a word. Bingo. I'm not ready to take a vow of silence. But that's a Bedouin phrase. It's people who live in the desert. They listen to the silence of the desert. And they wrote, one of their great sages, if you cannot improve upon the silence of the desert, do not speak. That is beautiful, right? Of course, it doesn't apply in our world. Chatter, 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 chatter. Chatter, 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 said the monkey to the ape, okay? But think about it when you can use words, such as that poet who wrote A Short Dance in the Sun, or others and other short phrases that we will remember the rest of our lives. So words are extremely powerful. Words can heal, words can kill. Who you hang with determines who you are. If you have bad friends who speak poor English, stay away from them, because they're going to mangle your brain and lower your IQ. Only hang with people who have good brains and a good vocabulary and say things that have meaning. And if you can't find any, then just listen to talk radio or whatever you have to do. Because the English language is dying, by the way, incidentally, for many reasons, and I don't have to say why. So here we go. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Where are we? Where's the woman, the young lady? Here. Cindy in Oregon, where the aura has been gone a long time. Cindy on K. Eugene, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I'm actually in Salem, but it's pretty close. I was just responding to something you had said yesterday about, you know, this younger generation who's tuning in on their iPhones, listening online, and I wouldn't doubt that that's very much true, and I really feel like it's a silenced generation.
I was mentioning it because I was saying that amongst all cyber listeners, according to TalkStream Live, I'm ranked number one. I beat Rush Limbaugh. He has a 12.3 share. I have a 12.5 share. Glenn Beck has a 9.2 share, and then everyone else drops, I would say, 40% and lower below them. So, I mean, numbers don't lie. Michael Savage is tops in online listening. So people are trying to knock me now because of this competition with Hannity. Saying, oh, he's an old man, he's this, he's that. Well, numbers don't lie. It doesn't matter what my age is. Why are young people listening to me?
The reason is because there's, I mean, I'm sure maybe a couple of generations, I'm 25, a couple of generations before me as well, but we get just pounded and pounded from public schools to the media every single way, and there is still a group of us who's looking for guidance, who's looking for that understand, oh, this is what it means to inherit the next generation we're starting.
Okay, that's very serious, and it's worthy of not just a flippant remark from me, but let me say this. If I were to get up here every day and sound like a bad history teacher with an old brown suit with a tuna fish stain on it and hack you to death about the Constitution every day, day in and day out, would you listen to me?
No.
I wouldn't listen. That's what turned me into a juvenile delinquent with teachers like that. Anyone who lectures you day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day Constitution, 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 Constitution. They sound like old Marxists in Union Square on a soapbox. Now, if that passes for conservatism, this is why so many people are tuning out and becoming communists.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And it's more to that. There's more than just on paper, you know, what are the facts.
I'm trying to say something else. I'm trying to say is that my message is pretty clear to those who follow my politics. They know where I stand. But I don't have to prove it in every sentence. And so it's like having a friend or someone that you know and you trust. You know where they stand politically. They don't have to repeat it every day like a litmus test. So what you do is you start to live with them and you listen to their stories and their life views. And you will find out that their politics are actually reflected in their stories and their life views. I think that's what I'm saying to you.
I agree. I think that there's something to those of us who are smart enough to understand, to learn from our elders.
Wow, I feel I'm going to like sit on a pedestal now. Well, I won't say to you, you're a great American. How do you feel when someone says to someone else, you're a great American? How can anyone say that to anybody with a straight face?
I don't know.
I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, the greatest book of the century. It's out in paperback. Read it and see what you can learn from it. I killed myself writing the book. I hope you read it and you get something from it. 855-407-2282. It's the Savage Nation. Let's take some callers from other markets. WNIS. NIS, that's a great station in the heart of a big military community in Virginia. Ryan, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the reason people listen to you is because you talk about topics that nobody else talks about. For example, July 24th, 2013 was your most groundbreaking show in history because you talked to the strange parents, which gave you details that you didn't even know about the whole debacle of the Chinook helicopter. And
of all of the SEALs being put on that helicopter and sent to their deaths, to this date, there has been no investigation by Congress, neither the Republicans, certainly not the Democrats, and certainly not the Commander-in-Chief. Those SEALs were sent to their death. It got me so sick that I wrote a novel dedicated to them called A Time for War, and yet it still has not resonated with the American media nor the American people. Yes, I had the strange parents on who certainly divulged an awful lot. Where has it gone, though, from here, from there?
It's just unreal. You're the only one talking about it, and it's scary that the other ones feel like there's still a right-left paradigm. I feel like we have to get away from this right-left myth. It's a one-party system. I mean, do you not agree with that?
Well, I was the one who defined that that's a Democrat-Republicrat universe, and I've seen it over and over again. No matter which way I turn, I come to the conclusion we're living in a pseudo-democracy, a pseudo-republic. We're living in a one-party system with two-card Monty, as I've said for years. But let's put that aside. When you have more Navy SEALs who die in one incident than in the entire history of their the institution of the Navy SEALs, wouldn't you think that that would be a major story that should be covered by the media and investigated by Congress? I do.
Covered four Americans, which was horrible, in Benghazi, more than they covered that, which I can't believe.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, I tell you what, I will send you a copy of my novel, A Time for War, the thriller, which opens with exactly that story. A Chinook helicopter carrying a squad of Navy SEALs suddenly plummets to earth in Afghanistan. From the New York Times best-selling author of Abuse of Power and radio host of The Savage Nation comes a powerful new thriller, A Time for War. Well, what can I say to you? I do what I have to do. Do you measure it in terms of numbers? Do numbers count? To a certain extent, yes. Or do you measure it in terms of quality? Well, quality counts as well. So let's go back to the program here on the Savage Nation. We're getting some great callers right now, which I will get back to the minute I return right here on Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Found it on Newsmax. Okay, kill the song. It's a beautiful song. Egyptian Opposition's Party, a staunchly pro-Western, pro-democratic political party. And here's what he wrote about Obama. He says, like most Egyptians, we listened with attention to your statement on Egypt's latest development, and as representatives of the non-Islamic political forces in Egypt, non-Islamic, we believe in the same fundamental values on which the U.S. was founded, except that we have a 7,000 years of civilization and history, which gave us a special identity, which we are fighting to keep since the Muslim Brotherhood came to power. Do you understand that they're not Egyptians? Do you understand what's going on here? Let me continue. Here's what Saeed writes. Let me inform you about who the Muslim Brothers are. They're an unlawful organization operating outside the realm of the Egyptian law, receiving foreign funding and laundering money in a flagrant breach of international law. Their aim is to rule the world through a so-called Islamic caliphate, as they believe in their absolute supremacy. They pretend they are God's emissaries and will not rest until they have forced the whole world into submission. For them, Egypt is the launching pad to achieve their fascist dream, he writes. Their international reach spans the globe, and they command the ears and minds of many unsuspecting politicians. They have used deceit, soft speeches, international funds, and whenever required, violence to impose their will. He goes on. Saeed writes, the rule of Morsi showed how in less than a year they abused the people, reneged on their promises, and overturned the rule of law, and go on and on. So now you have to understand what's going on here. I'm going to pause right here. You can read the article yourself. It's on Newsmax. I will link it up on michaelsavage.com. Obama, he says, is misleading the American people. Is that because Obama himself is misled, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation? Or is that because Obama is in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood, as some are writing? I'll let you figure it out. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter why he's doing it. And McCain should be sent to Mongolia to open a Buick dealership for what he's doing. He and Cindy
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The higher we soar, the smaller we appear to those who cannot fly. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-400-7282. We are talking about combat, that all of life is a struggle, whether it be the bug on the ground, the bird in the air, the fish in the water, the deer in the woods, or the talk show host behind a microphone. And when it breaks out, as it has in Egypt, between people and turns into a civil war, you understand exactly what this perception can come to. And yet we can see with our own eyes what the Islamists are doing wherever they gain the power. In this country there are many Islamists in very high places, but they've not yet reached the point where they will break out into open warfare. Instead they are using cunning. They are using educational tools. They're using media tools. They are using every trick known to mankind. And they have the ears and minds of many of the sheeple, not only in the country, but in the administration in particular. They are using deceit. They're using their speeches. In fact, some of them go to the White House and give benedictions. They've not yet resorted to violence because they don't have the manpower nor the firepower to impose their will. But they will. They will, as sure as I'm sitting here. And how you cannot see through what's going on, well, I can understand why you can't see through it. You're tired, you have your own life, etc. What's going on in Egypt is terrible, and it has nothing to do with peace. It has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has everything to do with Islamists trying to take over the largest Muslim nation on earth, and it's all happening because of Obama. I'm sorry to tell you that. He is the one who brought about the overthrow of Mubarak. As despotic as Mubarak was, he was our best friend for over 40 years. He was the best friend of Israel for over 40 years. We had stability in the Middle East for over 40 years. And then this group of academic lunatics took over the country and started to impose things that I couldn't believe. I was stuff that you would read in a college news, a college campus. The right to protect, all sorts of garbage that college girls write. All of a sudden is being enacted. And look what happened. Take a look. More than 45 attacks were made on Christian installations across Egypt. Torching of 19 churches and cathedrals, some built in the 6th century. The 6th century. When have you seen a picture of a church burning in USA Today? When have the laughing boys on Comedy Central shown you a burning church? Colbert. Oh, Colbert. He's the most brilliant man in the media. A pimp. A stooge. A stooge. Every fascist regime has stooges. Every one of them has clowns in pancake makeup. And they have a powerful, powerful organization behind them. And you know what you have with me? Well, you have one man, a one-man show with one man's opinion. In many ways, I'm wandering in the desert. I always have been. And I've never lost my ability to look at things as they are and express it as they are. So what can I do about it? The issue is I can't do a thing about it. And you feel the same discomfort, the same powerlessness, if you want to put it that way. And so you say, what should I listen to this for? It gets me sick to hear churches are burning and the president is partying. It gets me sick to hear Christians are being crucified in Egypt and Harvey Weinstein is being wined and dined with Larry David in Martha's Vineyard with the tuxedos. It makes me sick. It makes me sick to look at it, but I can't do anything about it because we have such a either immature, I have no words for it, no verbs. I can't describe Obama. It's hard to express how he gets away with this, other than he owns the media. You say, owns the media. Well, you could reverse and say the media owns him. He is a product of the media. They made him. They invented him. They elected him. And the churches are burning. You say, I don't want to listen to this Obama bashing. Well, you better listen to it. Because what's happening in Egypt is a result of your God. It's a result of your God and your goddess Hillary Clinton. And unless you understand that it's their mangled idiocy that has brought about the Arab winter and the killing of Christians, it will arrive on this shore all over again, just as it did in 2001, on 9/11, 2001. It'll happen all over again. It did happen here, by the way. It did happen here. You forgot already that the Islamo-fascists did it to us? You forgot it. It's all over. The real estate's $95 million for an apartment in New York, so it didn't happen. It can't happen here. It did happen here. It'll happen again here. The minute you let go of your vigilance, the minute you stop seeing these people for who they are, it will happen again. Unless it's already happened again. Only this time it's not going to happen through warfare. It's happening in a much more stealthy way. WABC Petraeus on the Savage Nation. Go ahead. You're on the program.
Michael, I am so glad to hear what you have just said. I've been preaching it around here, saying that they don't realize how sneaky these illegitimate are. They're in the White House. They're advising the president. The Muslim Brotherhood has founded the Muslim Student Associations on campus.
Correct, and they're related to the CAIR organization, which is another organization that tried to put me out of business. Trust me, I'm not the only one who sees this. Unfortunately, while the FBI once saw them for what they are, today the FBI is being trained by them.
That's correct. That's correct. They call it lawfare, L-A-W, fair. Just like warfare, they use the constitutional rights for them to be allowed to run the whole damn place.
I see what's going on. But I've been seeing more and more smoke signals coming up out of the media. About the fact that Obama is not really equivocal about Egypt. He's actually on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is why he's saying he's neutral, because he sees they're getting their butts whipped, and he doesn't know which way it's going to end. He was in their camp. I mean, he supports them. Why would you think, though, McCain would go over there? Lindsey Graham, we know, is a two-faced you-know-what.
Yeah, but
the cheapest prostitute on the worst street in New York would have more honor than Lindsey Graham, in my estimation. But how do you explain John McCain?
It's impossible.
I mean, how do you explain it? Is John McCain mentally ill?
Marbled.
Is he just dumb? What is the explanation for the fact that he's got this all wrong?
He's senile.
Hmm.
The thing that also strikes is, who is hilarious Clinton, hilarious rotten Clinton's, what is her, chief administrator, sidekick there, whatever her...
You mean Huma Abedin, the wife of Anthony Weiner?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Funny how I can remember names, yeah. Huma Abedin, Hillary's chief of staff many years ago, married to the distinguished candidate from New York City, Anthony Weiner. How'd that work out for her, that desire to implant herself into the political structure by marrying that moron? Thank you for the call. It's not a laughing matter, and just putting them down isn't going to get us where we've got to go. We must pass the word. We must make the Americans understand that what is happening in Egypt has direct meaning to what is happening to us in this country, because the very same forces that have brought Egypt to this level of violence within the Muslim Brotherhood have extremely powerful positions and influence with the Obama administration. Why are the Jews so silent on this issue? Where are the rabbis? Rabbi, where are you? Where are you, Rabbi? Rabbi means teacher. What are you telling your flock tonight? Have you told them what's going on in Egypt? Do you know what's going on in Egypt? Do you have any idea what's going on in Egypt to your fellow Christians? Have you any idea what's going on? Do you care? Why are you such slavish left-wing Democrats? So many of you, why? Why? What is it going to take for you to understand what's at stake here? Well, there's many whys, and there's no answers. I can't answer for other people. I can only tend my own garden and once in a while come out of the vineyard and look up to the heavens and cry out on the microphone. That's about it. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. I can only tend my own garden. I can't tell others how to think. And yet you see Egypt burning. Why did this happen? It didn't happen by itself. It's not a spontaneous combustion fire. It didn't suddenly originate. This is a result of your hero Obama's policies. He took Mubarak, who was a strong man, who kept the Muslim Brotherhood in particular, in check. He had them in prison, and he cracked down on them. He let them practice their religion, but he didn't let them take over the country. You threw Mubarak in jail. You Democrats did it. You all did it to this country. You did it to Egypt. You did it to Libya. You're doing it to Syria. But you don't even have any idea that you're just useful idiots of very powerful forces in the world. And this is going to come home to this nation, as it already has, but in a more pronounced and more violent way, as sure as I'm standing here. Something has to give. One of the Republicans has to stand up clearly and give a speech on why we must back the Egyptian military. What is at stake for the United States? Where is Ted Cruz on this issue? Where is Rubio on this issue? Where is Rand Paul on this issue? Nowhere. Not that I know of. I could be mistaken. I don't keep up with every utterance that comes out of their PR agent's mouth. I don't know where they are. But at some point, someone from the so-called opposition party, which is supposed to be the conservative party, the Republicans, let's never forget that. Democrat stands for liberal. Republican stands for conservative. That's basically the way it's always been. Someone from the conservative party has to come out and say a word. Someone? Who is that someone? Who? Who will speak out about what's going on in Egypt and why we must back the military? In essence, they are doing exactly what we should be doing in Egypt. But since it's not our country, they're doing it. So why don't we support them? Why do we try to cut their legs off? Why do we say we're not sure which side to be on? We want democracy? What do you mean democracy? What does that mean? That's not a word in a textbook. Take a look at what your friends who use democracy to get in power have been doing in Egypt. Just as Hitler came to power through democracy. Oh, Hitler was elected. I told you this yesterday. Hitler was elected by 31% or 32% of the vote in Germany. He didn't seize power with the brown shirts. Took off his uniform, put on a suit, spoke softly, talked about jobs, talked about the economy, talked about the resurgence of Germany, talked about the middle class, and he became president. He became president of Germany. That's right. Then what did he do? Then he eliminated the Constitution and became dictator. Well, it's exactly what was going on in Egypt. And as I said to you, sometimes a military coup can be a friend of the people. Had the German generals who plotted against Hitler when it was too late done so in 32, 33, 34, World War II could have been averted. Had they risen up and overthrown Hitler. But they didn't. They didn't. Well, it's easy to look back and say, gee, why didn't they? Well, now in Egypt, they know their history. Many of the generals are extremely intelligent. They've trained here in America. Their cohorts are American military officers. Those are our Egyptian, the cohorts of our military class here in this country. They're very intelligent people. Maybe they know that history can repeat itself unless they intervene. So they know what they have to do to save their country from fascism, Islamofascism in this regard. You see, not everyone in Egypt is Muslim. That's number one. Just ask the Christians whose churches are burning and whose families have been killed. Or ask the Jews who remain how the Muslim Brotherhood's been treating them. Have you seen any stories on that recently? Hasn't made it to the Brooklyn newspapers? Well, maybe it ought to. But the general said, no, that's enough is enough. We're throwing Morsi out. We're putting him in jail. So what side does America take? Instead of taking the side of the military, who are our friends and actually the forces of democracy, true democracy, we say, oh, we're not on the side of a military coup. What do you mean we're not? Why? Are they all necessarily evil? You can't define things by the term itself. You have to define things by the actual events that occur from the act. Or is that too esoteric for you, John Boehner? Anyway, the time is short, the night is long, and I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, look, you can make a lot of noise and attract a lot of attention, and then after the noise stops, you have to make sense. A lot of people in radio think that you just play loud music and do something crazy, and they'll listen. It doesn't work too long. This has been a 19-year one-man show. And if it was just about noise and hyperbole and bombastic rhetoric, I wouldn't be here. It's that simple. So we're living in very dangerous times, and I think that we are at a point where there's no opposition party, no opposition press, and all that's left is you. It's that simple. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's go to the callers. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. First of all, I love your music that you play.
Thank you.
I called about Sean Hannity. And it's amazing. Several months ago, normally coming home from work, I have Sean Hannity on the radio. And I just got to the point where I just couldn't take him anymore, and I just turned a rock and roll station. And I just don't listen to him anymore. If I see him on MSNBC when I'm surfing, I go to another station. My wife asked me the other night why I'm doing it. I just said, really, he just doesn't have anything to say. I mean, he takes one or two points and he just hammers them on the whole show. He's really not reflective of what really the issues are. And I think that's the reason he's losing favor. And I think...
Well, look, I could spend a lot of time, and I appreciate your call. I mean, I don't want to sit here and bash Sean. He's in trouble as it is, and I don't need to, you know, kick a man when he's down. The fact of the matter is, all those who predicted my demise were wrong. All those who have been counting on me disappearing were wrong. All those who were in his camp were wrong. And here I am. So now I have to make the most of it. It's that simple. But, you know, there's a reason for this. He's a much younger man than I am by probably 20 years. I don't really know, 20 years maybe. And I'll tell you this. No one on earth can do a radio and television show every day. Nobody on the planet. If Moses came back and he had to do an hour of television at night and a three-hour long-form radio show, Moses would have said, you know what, God? You can take this desert and keep it. He wouldn't have done it. He said, you can take the Red Sea. Here's the keys back to the Red Sea. I don't want to part it. I'll tell you what, I'm going out the other side of the sea. I'll tell you to close the seas. Nobody could do that every day and survive. It's so draining, it's beyond belief. So what I'm saying is this, and you know, you got to hand it to the leprechaun. The leprechaun flopped in radio because he was trying to do both, and he was basically using radio as the cheap cousin of the TV show to promote it. Look, the wall banger uses his radio show as a vehicle for his TV show, ad nauseum, and to plug his friend's books. How much can you listen to that? So that's number one. But the leprechaun, to his credit, realized that if he wanted to thrive in the media, he better make a choice between one or the other. And he wisely chose to remain king of cable television. You got to hand it to him. He knew what to do. He wasn't greedy. He also wasn't foolish. He had the discernment to understand you can't do both well. You can probably do both, but not both well. And that's a lesson for everyone listening to the show. You are tempted to do it all. You can't do it all. And radio is probably the most demanding of all because you really have to use your brains. You have to use your brain for hours and hours at a time. You're only one sentence away from disaster, if not one word from disaster. You don't have any makeup. You don't have any cameras. You don't have any suits provided by Hartshafter and Marks for free. Ties provided by Gucci for free. Shirts provided by Barney's for free. I never saw anything like it. I mean, a guy who makes millions of dollars has to schnur a suit? That's one thing I don't understand about the leprechaun. It must be the linias that are still operational. It's like a lot of rich guys I know. They can't get enough of the freebies. No matter how much they make, they want a sandwich and a limousine on the way home from the wake, to put it to you that way. So anyway, he was smart enough to walk away from radio and say, who needs it? And he's number one in television, and I think Sean hasn't learned that lesson yet. Maybe he will. I think he ought to make a decision. If I were him, and I'm not him, and he's not listening to the show, or someone will tell him what I said, I would drop the radio show altogether, and I'd focus only on television. He's still a young man. He still has a long life ahead of him. God bless him. He should do that. And or run for office. He should be a senator from Florida. I'd even vote for him. I have a house in Florida. I'd even campaign for him. He'd be happier as a glad-hander. Absolutely happier. He could give up this whole thing of the two things a day. One man's opinion. I'll be right back for the third hour right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Hot Talk 560. KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you made it to hour number three of the Savage Nation tonight, Friday, August 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. What's on my website, michaelsavage.com? Well, if you're too lazy to go there, I'll go there for you. Your friends in the Muslim Brotherhood, or shall I say the friends of Obama, McCain, Kerry, Hillary Clinton, your friends in the Muslim Brotherhood torched Christian orphanages in Egypt. They also burned and looted houses and shops of Christians, and you don't know which side to take in the Egypt dilemma? Are you people that stupid? Also, and this is the big inside story, Savage predicts he will take over Hannity's radio slot. That was a big story last night. It's a bigger story tonight, which we've been talking about. And no matter what you read, numbers don't lie. And Michael Savage is number one in online listening. Number one amongst younger listeners who listen on iPhones. Okay, so put that in your pipe and smoke it with your medical marijuana. Also on michaelsavage.com... take a look at this story. Hillary screamed at a congressman for calling Benghazi terrorism. Really, I wonder why. She threw a lamp at him. Michigan doctor held a $9 million bond. Why? He misdiagnosed cancer patients. He made believe they had cancer to sell them cancer therapies. I swear to God, he told them they had cancer. Meanwhile, Mr. Obama parties on. He and Michelle are enjoying the power trip. They are at a big holiday on the Vineyard. The Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard. And there's a big list of the usual people, all the people who've ruined America, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Eric Holder, Carolyn Kennedy. Others included Harvey Weinstein, the Obama booster from the movie business, Harvey. And Larry David was there. Are you kidding? It beats a bar mitzvah in Brooklyn. Carly Simon is there. Miss Botox came to the party, and many others were there at the party for the Obamas. Do I sound jealous? I'm not. I'm right where I want to be in the catbird seat. Which is right here in front of you, right on the Savage Nation. Listen, before we go into all the news of the day on the Savage Nation in this third hour, I want to remind you that Trickle Down Tyranny, which came out in paperback just this week, is probably the most important critique of Obama's devastating policies you'll ever find. It's an absolute must-read for all freedom-loving Americans, according to the Free Republic. Ted Nugent of the Washington Times wrote this. He said, a blazing flamethrower of truth, Michael Savage pulls no punches and goes right for the jugular with facts, not vacuous hyperbole. That's good stuff. It's the book of the year, Trickle Down Tyranny, in paperback now by Michael Savage. Now, if you want me to talk about Egypt, I've done so ad infinitum. I called it the Arab winter before anyone else did. We must side with the generals. I said that before anyone else figured that out. What else would you like me to answer? Because I'm usually right on international affairs. I'm very rarely wrong. I'm strategically the smartest man in the media on international affairs. That's because of my academic background and because I read very widely. On domestic affairs, it's hard to tell because there's too many shadows, and we're looking at the shadows on the wall of the cave. We don't really know what's going on. We have too many shysters in the media who are covering for those in power, and you don't know what they're really doing. You know, it's the Savage Nation, the one and only, 855-400-7282. we're open for business. What I'd like to hear is Speedo. It's one of my favorite rock and roll songs in order to get the people to recognize that it's a long-running thing that I have here, which is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. When I was off the air last year for a month or so, they were missing Rock and Roll Friday, Blue Monday, Curry Chicken Tuesday, Weepy Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday. Yeah. I'm going skeet shooting tomorrow. I haven't done it much, but I'm going to take the old Remington 1100 and shoot some skeet. I wonder what that sounds like to Larry David, a guy like Larry David from Brooklyn. He was up in the Ginyard, Martha's Ginyard. He was at the party with Obama. They listed the people who went to the party, and there he was again. There he was again. The more leftist fanatic you are, the closer you are, the more you need Noxzema. It's unbelievable to me. The more nuts you are on the left, the closer you get to the inner circle of this guy. This is unbelievable. Larry David, that goofball, is with the president. Along with Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein was against violence before he was for it. Harvey Weinstein, after that horrible tragedy in Connecticut, where that lunatic kid went nuts and shot those poor children, comes out and says that he's against violence. He wants to ban guns. That schmuck, there's not one movie that schmuck ever made that there wasn't mayhem, butchering, murder, pornography. He's there in Martha's Vineyard. It's amazing how the world works. It's amazing. It's just amazing what you can get away with if you have a good PR agent. Me, I'm alone. I have no public relations whatsoever. It is the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Any subject is fair game as long as it's about me and my prediction or something, or the news, you know, whatever you want. We could do news, we could do Savage, we could do rock and roll. 855-407-2822. What do you think of my statement that Obama's doing about the right thing given the situation in Egypt right now? Because that's about all you can do. Whatever he does is going to be a mistake right now. Best thing is to stay out of it, as we have been doing in Syria. I have no idea why anyone would back the so-called rebels, as I've said from the beginning. Who are the rebels? It's Al-Qaeda. So we're going to back our enemies? It's the same with Egypt. You don't have to be a genius to understand what's going on. They said, well, we as a Democrat can't support a military coup. Yes, you can. As I said earlier, sometimes a military coup is to be desired. God, if we had only seen a military coup in Germany in the early 30s, wouldn't it be a different world? Hitler won a Democratic election, democratically elected, won an election, campaign, wore a suit, and won the election. If only the military, most of whom hated him, by the way, he was not a German to them. They were old guard aristocrats, most of them. They hated Hitler. If only they had a coup in Germany in the early days, the whole shape of the world would be different, wouldn't it? It's the same in Egypt. What do you mean he was a duly elected? What does that mean? What does duly elected mean? You can rig elections. You can have morons vote 10 times. Take a look at what we have here in this country with democracy. Most of the people know that this election was a sham. Most of the people know that the majority of Americans are not liberal. The majority of Americans are centrists or quite to the right, a little to the right of the center on most issues and very far to the center on fiscal issues. And yet we have the exact opposite in a ruling junta here. It's like a junta running the country. How different is it? So we had democracy, wonderful. Well, you're not going to have a military coup in America. He purged the military. He purged the military. That's a separate story for another night. The military was purged after Benghazi. You may not know it, but 3 generals and a major league admiral were dismissed for no reason whatsoever on trumped-up charges because they were the only ones in the military after the other two were eliminated, the 2 great generals, Petraeus and McChrystal, were thrown out because they were undermined by Rolling Stone magazine with complete lies. I mean, never should have been left. We had great generals. So we lost McChrystal. We lost Petraeus. Then he fired 3 generals and an admiral. Who's left in the military now? Who's left? You have a dictatorship in this country. So let's go on now. Let's go on now. We have a huge task ahead of us, whether it's me and my predictions coming true or not. We have a very big task ahead of us. We have midterm elections coming up in a year, in 2014, which will determine a great deal, because if the Democrats should seize absolute power, you'll have a disaster in this country unlike any you've ever seen. Watch out, you liberals. You may just get what you wish for. And take a look at California right now. You think California's doing well? The roads are broken. We're being taxed to death. And the illegal aliens are running all over our schools and other institutions. And I'm not putting them on a pedestal. I never have and I never will. I am the son of an immigrant, and I have told you over and over again, I do not oppose illegal immigration because of racial issues, immigration for fiscal issues. Michigan, Cody, you're on the Savage Nation from Michigan. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. First off, I'm excited to hear that you're taking over for Sean Hannity, because I heard him do 2 hours on the Rodeo Clown this afternoon, and it was so nauseating. I had to
check. Yeah, I tuned in to see if he would attack me, and I said, I can't believe he's doing what we all did last week.
You know, one of my favorite bits you've ever done was the Romney empty chair bit after the convention. And I'd be interested to hear a Sean Hannity empty chair segment, or maybe just like a conservative.
Wait, I don't remember that, because Clint Eastwood did it. I thought it was one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen in my life. And, of course, the liberal media went crazy because they thought they owned Clint Eastwood. But what did I do? I don't really remember, honestly.
Well, it was on the fly, and you used a buzzer sound effect, and you just started in with it. And I was laughing so hard.
Oh. I asked hard questions like, Mr. Romney, and what do you think about granting amnesty to illegal aliens, right? And he said nothing. Is that it?
Yeah, and it was just a dial tone. And
Dial tone, right? All right. We play a dial tone with every question that had any meaning. I do remember. That was funny. We invented it on the spot. Yeah, I'm famous for on the fly. On the fly.
One of the most entertaining hosts on the radio, and I love listening to your show every night.
Well, okay, that's good. Thank you very much. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So the worst people in the world are on Martha's Vineyard right now. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You're telling me that these are the best people in the world? Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Eric Holder, former car czar Stephen Ratner, and members of the and a member of the President's Economic Recovery Advisory Board. How's that working out for you? Robert Wolf, lawyer and leading civil rights activist Vernon Jordan. Also, there were movie mogul and Obama PR hack Harvey Weinstein and his wife, Marchesa. Larry David, do I have to say anything? Just the words themselves say it. Carly Simon, Peter Chernin, they're all at Martha's Vineyard. The world is burning. The Middle East is on fire. The country is being attacked left and right around the world, verbally, intellectually, mentally. The people are clamoring for leadership, and this is a collaboration of the worst people I've ever seen in my life on Martha's Vineyard. 855-407-282 is the phone number. It's open mic to Mike Friday. Memphis, Tennessee, WKIM. Alex, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, you are so far ahead of the other people. Like, they still haven't caught up to the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood is our enemies. And then McCain has still gone over there saying that
yes,
he should help them out.
Well, no, McCain is a disaster. He's a roving disaster. I've tried to figure out why McCain is on the side of Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood. Because secretly behind the scenes, Obama's on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is why he's taken an equivocal position. And the best I could figure this out from McCain's point of view is that he wants to curry favor with Obama. That's one opinion I have, and it's the easiest conclusion to draw. The second opinion I have is that McCain is a front man for the military-industrial complex, and whatever is good for the sale of weapons is good for McCain. There's no other reason for this. Thank you for the call. That's all. In Ohio, John is calling the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. You're on the program.
Hey, Michael. I'm a longtime Sean Hannity fan, and I can tell you the reason his ratings are down is we're burned up from the politics. After the last election, we're simply not interested anymore.
I think that's 100% true. It may not even be him. He's repetitive, and all he does is, you know, propose Republicanism and anti-Obamacare. I myself can't listen to that.
Yeah, it's hard to do because we fought as hard as we could, and
All right, well, let's say you're a realist. You still like Sean. You'll watch him on television wherever he goes. So if that is true, that you're tired of politics, then why are you listening to the Michael Savage show?
No. I'm talking domestic politics. We're tired, but we don't want to hear the same talking point that Sean puts out there.
Okay.
It is, Michael. That is certainly my reasoning. I can't get as involved as I used to be.
Okay, but here you are at night on a Friday listening to me. I'm basically a political talk show host, correct?
It's a different point of view.
All right. Well, I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny just out in paperback. Stay on the line. Did you hear my quote yesterday from Nietzsche when he wrote, "Thus spake Zarathustra"? We'll go highbrow, lowbrow. Okay, here's highbrow. Nietzsche. You've all heard of Nietzsche. I'm sure you heard of Nietzsche. It's like, oh, Nietzsche. Yeah, have you read Nietzsche? Really? Have you read Lorca? Yeah, I read Lorca. Remember when the liberals were going to the Senate? Did you read Lorca? Yeah, I read Lorca. There was like a certain list of books you had to read and you had to know. Well, Nietzsche wrote those. And it's not just to do with me. There's a higher power. I told you that. I told you that anymore. I once had it on a stage set because I found so many things that I wanted to remember that I may as well should pull out all of the post-its and just read the book again. I swear on this Bible to my audience right now that there's not another talk show host in America who will put a Bible on his broadcast desk and swear to his audience on anything. I swear to you that everyone who stood in my way is out of radio or gone from where they were. Everyone. It's just what is. So what would you conclude from that? It's because I'm such a great, brilliant broadcaster. I'm good at what I do. In fact, sometimes I'm great at what I do. But there has to be more to it than that. There always is something more to this type of thing than that. And that's all I'm going to say. How about the spying scandal? Did that disappear? Latest NSA revelations angered Dems. The Obama administration faces a backlash from congressional demon cats following revelations that the NSA broke privacy rules and overstepped its authority thousands of times since 08. They're faking it. They don't care. The Dems are making believe they care because they have to go back to their base, which are usually fanatics. Because the left really cares about the spying as they should.
Savage. Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Look, one of the things I do for you on this show is watching the media. I'm a media watcher, and one of the people I watch, because she watches everyone, is Jennifer Harper with the Washington Times. And today, she's with us reporting on some very interesting stories. Jennifer Harper, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's always good to be with you. And before we get started, I have to say I'm so intrigued and interested by the possibilities that you've raised in terms of the direction of your show, possibly going to someone else's time slot. I guess that's the most decorous way to put that. And I must say, it would not surprise me if that happened because you are a very generous person in terms of your outreach to your audience, and you also are an authentic one. And there is a lot of sincerity behind what you say, and I've covered a lot of folks in broadcast, talk radio in particular, and you are a singular talent, so I shall be very interested to see how this turns out for you.
Well, thanks for that, Jennifer. Yes, it's a prediction that I hope will come true, because when it does, I'll shake up the entire radio and media landscape. And I know that you've also been keeping your eye on the GOP's summer meetings and the controversy they're having over the Hillary films that the Republicans are upset over. What do you have to say about that?
Well, the latest update is actually fairly significant. This has been a dramatic situation all week long. It has pitted the Republican National Committee against CNN and NBC. And as you know and your audience knows, they are both proposing to do some very, possibly very favorable documentaries about Hillary Clinton that will be timed to run just as the 2016 presidential race is ramping up. And the RNC is saying, you know, this is kind of a dubious thing to do. Are you going to offer equal time to, say, some Republican candidates? And this has been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and certainly Reince Priebus, RNC chairman, has been very, very aggressive about pursuing the networks, and the biggest news is that the Republicans during their summer meeting in Boston have taken a vote on this, and they have voted to boycott CNN and NBC should both those networks choose to make these biops, as they call them, out in Hollywood. And I think that's a significant political step. It's certainly a significant cultural step. And the RNC was, again, very aggressive about this. They put out four of their own videos to protest this, pointing out what is it that you're going to leave out of these documentaries, CNN and NBC. Are you going to include the part about Benghazi? Are you going to include the part about lots of Clinton issues from decades past? So the end of the story is the RNC will boycott the networks should they choose to make these documentaries. Definitely a cliffhanger.
Well, what has the feedback been so far?
Their reaction has been very low-key. Certainly, any network has encountered pushback from their audience or from their critics over myriad productions that they put on, whether it's their news coverage or special projects like these. But the Republican National Committee, particularly Mr. Priebus, the chairman, who is an aggressive guy and is definitely trying to reposition and rebrand the party as 2014 looms and 2016 looms, he's taken them to task, and this is almost an unprecedented way. He's definitely playing hardball. The final chapter on this, Michael, is that there is yet another Hillary Clinton project, but this is going to be a Hollywood production, a feature production. It has nothing to do with the public airways, and this is called Rodham. It is currently in production, and it is going to be covering Hillary Clinton when she was a young woman, before she even married Bill Clinton, when she was 26 years old and a law student and so forth and so on. The big Hollywood insider take on that is that it will include, a little romance, a little naughty bits. That's, again, Rodham, and that's something that is beyond the control of the Republican National Committee. So that's the final chapter of this whole drama that has gone on.
You say that Obama's million-dollar tour bus will be back in action soon. Does that bus have a basketball court on it as well, that he, and a place to play hearts?
This is such an interesting little thing to pay attention to in the summer doldrums. Yes, indeed, Michael. Greyhound 1 is due to go rolling across the heartland once again. Greyhound 1 is one of the many nicknames that came out for the White House tour bus. And this is not any tour bus, Michael. This is a $1.1 million armor-plated excursion bus that it was actually made in Canada. But we'll leave that alone for now. It was first rolled out onto the public radar in the summer of 2011 when President Obama he embarked on a three-day economic world bus tour. And anytime he wants to get kind of a heartland feel for getting his message across, he'll take a tour bus out. And this is going to happen next week. He's going to go on a two-day jaunt through New York and Pennsylvania talking about his vision for a better bargain for the middle class. That is what the White House is saying. Also, they're going to be talking about college tuitions, very timely thing. But in times past, taking a bus, the White House taking a bus, and I believe they actually fly this bus into whatever location they're going to, has kind of irked Republicans, conservatives, and Tea Partiers alike, because this is sort of borrowing a page from the Tea Party playbook. That is something that bus tours have always been kind of the low-key way that they got their grassroots message across, and they don't feel so great about the White House borrowing this, but hey, it's going to happen next week. Big photo op. You can be sure there's going to be picturesque barns and patriotic bunting at all of these locations.
What's this? You reported about a new poll where people say they don't want to live too long? Wow, where was that taken? In the Democrat precincts?
Well, there is a poll for everything. And one of the polls that has come out, this is coming from the Pew Research Center, which covers just about everything. They decided to ask people, if you could live to be 120 years old, would you? And it's interesting to note that two-thirds of Americans would say, no, I don't want to get that old. And it's actually, Pew found that this was sort of almost a moral issue, that a lot of people, half the respondents were saying that this would not be good for society. It would be a bad thing for society if people started living to be 120 years old. Then they went into the cultural barriers. So two-thirds said that only wealthy people could afford to get the anti-aging treatments and whatever newfangled medications are coming down the pike, that only wealthy people could afford this. And another 60% said that anti-aging treatments of this nature would be, quote, fundamentally unnatural. And if you're curious about all of this, most people think this is 70%. 7 out of 10 Americans say that the ideal lifespan is about 79, all the way up to 100. They can deal with that, but going up to 120, not a good thing in their opinion. Just a strange little cultural moment. Given the chance to be that old, most people say, nah, that's okay.
Where can we read more?
You can always find me at WashingtonTimes.com. I write Inside the Beltway and The Water Cooler. I'm on Twitter as Harper Bulletin.
Jennifer Harper, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
It's my pleasure, Michael.
I'm Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Good enough. That's all. Carnage in Cairo, no end in sight to raging Egyptian violence. And our genius in the White House is knocking down a fried shrimp. He's knocking down a fried shrimp with Harvey Weinstein tonight. That's all. Well, he's on vacation. Look, he worked very hard last month. He went to Africa. That cost you $100 million. He needs a vacation from his vacation. That's unbelievable. Churches are being burnt to the ground. Not a one word from leadership. When have you last seen Obama go to a church with a Bible in his hand? At least Clinton faked it with a large Bible and a fake cross. At least you could say that for him. This one doesn't even bother faking it. Should it matter to you? Yes, I think it should, by the way. Churches are burning. People are being killed. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's go to Alan on WABC in New York City. Alan, go ahead, please.
Big Mike, a few years ago, you said that you believed that the smartest person in America might just be sitting in a two-story tenement listening to the radio with his baseball hat on. And he's not sitting in Harvard. And I think that's the difference between you and Hannity. See, Hannity thinks that the smartest person in America is on the Fox payroll, or Dick Morris or Newt Gingrich. And this is for the Dickey brothers, who are ultimately going to make the decision. The reason you would be better in primetime radio is because you would pull the listener back. You were calling Mitt Romney a shell candidate, a default candidate, while Hannity was interviewing him and asking him what he's going to do in the first day of office. And I got to tell you, we've talked a lot over the years. And you're a sincere guy. And the only forum that sincerity could not be faked, and you say it over and over again, is radio.
That's right. You can't fake it in radio. You can fake it on television because you've got lights, action, camera, makeup, you know, whatever. You know, that's what the magic of television is. In radio, the people have the biggest truth detection meter in the world called their ears, and they can hear it. They can hear it. Look at what we're doing right now. I'm talking to an awful lot of people. You're one of them. You're listening. You're hearing what you're hearing. You can turn it off at any second, but you're not doing it, are you?
No, and another thing is, when you put your hand on the Bible, your hardcore audience remembers the story of your father's friend who died from brain cancer, right?
Oh, my God, the leather man gets brain cancer. You remember that story?
But you don't understand. We have a connection, me, you, and millions of others, that when you put your hand on the Bible, it isn't theatrics. This is
no.
Savage.
Well, it's not theatrics because here I am alone in a room with my dog. Actually, my dog isn't even here today. He's at the groomer on Friday. I'm alone. I feel very lonely.
You're alone.
But yeah. But no, I'm serious. I do. I have the Bible. I use it. And I don't sit here, you know, mumbling over it in front of a fireplace at night. I do other things. But truthfully, I do go to it sometimes and I say truth. There's an awful lot of truth in it.
It's not only the truth, but it's actually something that you make mainstream. And I have to tell you, Mike,
I think you are heading to prime time, but I think you're heading there for all the right reasons, because you will be, and you're going to love this one, you're going to be the filter. Because in the middle of the day, we need a filter to all the garbage, and you're going to be the filter.
The go filter.
Oh, brother.
I'm gonna be a go filter, a go filter.
You're gonna be the go filter.
Well, let me ask you something, because now it's a nighttime show. I'm the last word in talk radio. I've done another time slot, but really, I've never been on. If I should get that slot in the middle of the day, it's a different scene, isn't it?
No. See, they're using a clock to define the truth.
That's right. And let me tell you something. I won't change one aspect of my worldview or of my pace or my performance. There's no way I can do it, number one. And number two, there's no need to do it. In other words, this is a medium. You do it on the natch or you don't do it at all. And that's the end of it. In other words, I don't care what the time is. Wake me up in the middle of the night, I would do the same show.
And not only that, when the Republicans figure out that you have the pulse of the people, like when the other putts in the afternoon and the cronies that come after them, we're all using the same talking points that Romney and Dick Morris and Newt and all these guys know everything. You were telling us this is a loss. Be prepared.
Well, how about the fact that Hannity and his stooges were kissing the behind of Rubio, who I saw through so soon? I couldn't believe how naked the man looked to me. He had no clothing. How could they continue, I asked myself, to support that guy? And then it turned out he was the front man for the Democrats, pushing amnesty for the 30 to 50 to 60 million illegal aliens. It was Rubio who, it came out, was the front man. I was right. They were wrong. Why don't they ever apologize for it?
Well, look, Rubio, the only thing, when you say Rubio, I'm thinking Jack and Coke with a twist of lime. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Yes, Rubio. But, you know, there's something else you have to understand, and this is a very sensitive issue. And you remember Michelle Bachmann very well, don't you?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. Michelle Bachmann, she was in trouble a few years ago, came on my show over and over again to raise money for her campaign. And you guys sent her a lot of money. And I supported her. And then what happened was, once she became prominent in her own mind, she refused to come back on this show. She fell into the same trap that Romney did. The false Republican advisors, who they all use, said, don't go near Savage. Don't touch him. And she, what happened to her soon thereafter? Isn't she history? She's toast, isn't she?
For the longest time.
Okay, now let me tell you who will not come on this show right now. You want to hear their names? Because everyone's banking on them. Ted Cruz will not come on this show. He won't come near Michael Savage. How many times has he been on Hannity's show? 50? Well, I'm just trying to tell you, they're all run by the same exact machine. I don't care what flavor they come in, they come out of the same Carvel machine. In other words, you go to like an ice cream parlor, and it's 50 flavors, but it's all coming out of the same machine with different flavorings. Well, there are your Republicans for you today. They come out of the same machine, they use the same public relations agencies, they use the same false advisors who either 1 year work for Clinton, the next year work for Bush. It doesn't matter. That's why I've said we're living in a one-party system with two-card Monty. And I've said that for many, many years. I coined the phrases Democrat and Republicrat in 1994. Well, anyway, I do appreciate your keen ear and your astute listenership. And I do hope that this prediction of mine does come to pass. Alan on WABC, I'm sending you a copy not of the Holy Scriptures, not of psychological nudity, not of trickle-up poverty. No, sir, I'm not sending you train tracks. No, sir, I'm not sending you a time for war. No, sir, I'm not sending you abuse of power. Sir, I am sending you a copy of my paperback edition of Trickle Down Tyranny. 855-407-2822. You know all the news. You've heard it all day long. This is the last word in talk radio every day. But doesn't mean we have to do news at the end of the day. The thing is that there's a lot more in life than the news. In fact, life goes on without the news. What is the news? It's fabricated stories about what's going on in the world. And if it doesn't really affect you, you don't care about it at the end of the day. Think about it. Now, if you were a Coptic Christian in Egypt, you'd care about the news because they're burning your churches and they're killing you and your friends. And we're doing absolutely nothing. The great humanity, the great humanitarian America under Hillary Clinton, the great interventionist country that protects the most vulnerable populations have nothing to say about the churches burning. That's why mostly we've given up on politics and the media. And the only people you listen to are, who knows who you listen to? Maybe nude runners, I don't know. 855-497-282. So I will do a little news, views, and reviews. I mean, I'm a one-man show. You know, no one has me on their show. No one has me on their website. It's the way it should be. It's summer. How much, you know what I mean? Long day's journey into night, you know, after many a summer dies the swan. You understand that? 855-400-7282. KSFO, Doug, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I would just like to point out that I don't want the money cut off to Egypt because that's paying the salary of the soldiers, which are keeping the Muslim Brotherhood in check. And frankly, I don't care if they...
Well, why should we cut the money off to Egypt to begin with? It was going to the military, who are our allies. They're doing our dirty work in Egypt. The Egypt military is doing what we need done in Egypt, which is preventing the rise on the stage of Nazi fascism. What do you think Islamofascism means, a term that I coined? I mean, Islamofascism is a word. It applies to Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood as much as it does to the rebels that McCain seems to love in Syria. We must stop the Islamofascist movement or we will all lose our freedom and our lives. And so the Egyptian army is doing the bidding of America, only we don't even understand that.
I agree with you. You spoke too quick. I said I don't want to cut the money off.
No, I was agreeing with you, but since I'm originally from New York and was raised by a combative father, even when I agree with people, it sounds like I'm arguing with them. Neil's getting a kick out of me tonight. All right, no, seriously. I'm sorry, I am too combative sometimes, and people think I'm arguing with them even when I agree with them. But it's only my way. It's not that I really disagree with you. It's another thing that most Americans don't understand. You can disagree with someone without not disliking them. I don't have to hate you to disagree with you. I can like you and disagree with you. In fact,
join
I probably will disagree with you if I like
call
you.
Call now, 855-400-7282.